Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Can I hear a hallelujah? That's the highest praise, and he's worthy of it. Hallelujah. Shalom, saints. It is a blessing to be sharing with you. This is Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, 3CLA, the church for truth seekers. I am a truth seeker, and you are a truth seeker. It is a blessing to be sharing with you, not just you in the sanctuary, but also those tuning in online on our Spanish iChurch and on English iChurch. We welcome you. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, please let us know. It is your faithful support of iChurch that makes it possible for it to continue. So if it has been a blessing, there's information on how to contact us. And if you would like to give a gift of love, we would receive that. Lastly, we are, as I said, a church of truth seekers. We desire the truth. It is not about religion. It is not about tradition. It is about the truth. And we seek the truth. And so if you are also a truth seeker and you want to get to know the Savior at a deeper level, you can first start by getting to know him by his true Hebrew name, which is?
Yeshua.
Right. So let's just dive in to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. We are talking about a subject that many pastors don't want to talk about. And the reason why many don't want to talk about it is because y'all get mad at us when we talk about it. But we're just vessels. We are just delivering the word that Yahweh has given us to deliver. And it's not, it don't take a, as Apostle would say, a Phi Beta Kappa or a rocket scientist to understand the reason, the meanings in the scriptures. And so when we talk about holiness, there's a spirit in the world today. There's spirits in the world today. But there's a spirit in the world today in the church world that wants us to just be free. He's freed us from all kind of bad stuff. But there's a spirit in the church that you still want to be free to do the stuff that you want to do. And there's a teaching going forth that because he's so graceful and gracious and merciful, I can do whatever I want and he still loves me. It don't work that way. And scripture after scripture tells us that it doesn't work that way. He's done so much for us. And as we come into the season of the resurrection season and Pascha, when we focus in on Yeshua and what he's done, what he did for us, and how he died on the cross for our sins, and just the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Our sins. Now, if we could do what we want to do and live in sin, what did he die for? What was the sacrifice? Why was the blood shed? The blood was supposed to be a sacrifice for sin, an atonement for sin, as saying that, hey, all has been cleaned. All has been transformed. All has been forgiven. Anybody ever had charges against them? Don't raise your hand. But if sin is like a charge against you, and when that judge said, all charges are dropped, all charges are dismissed, Well, that's what Yeshua did. He dropped the charges. You're free. You can free. You are free. And so in living in that freedom, in what he provided for us in that freedom, he's saying, now I let you go free. I've made you free. I've justified you. I've sanctified you. I've redeemed you, transformed you. Now all I'm asking you to do is stay in that, continue in that, live in that, right? And so we call that holiness. We're just living the holy lifestyle. Holiness means a set apart lifestyle. And we should want to be set apart, because how is the world going to know that there's a difference between the church and the world? They have to see something different. They have to hear something different. And for them to do that, they need to observe you. And when they observe you so-called believers, you so-called followers of Yeshua, they need to see that a transformation has actually taken place in your life. And when they see that transformation, they say, hey, how can I get free? How can I be transformed? How can I be delivered? So you are walking billboards for the kingdom. He's expecting you to live this life that we talk about. And there is a terminology for you believers who choose not to live a set-apart lifestyle, but you're claiming you're a believer. You're saying, oh, I'm a believer, but yet your life is not demonstrating it. Yeshua called that type of person a hypocrite. And hypocrite just is a Greek word, is hypocrites, meaning it's you're a mask wearer. See, Yeshua observed the dramatics that were taking place in the Greek world, right? And when they were doing dramas and plays and things, they would put on these masks. And the person that wore the mask, or the actor, was called hypocrites. And he was saying, don't be a mask wearer, believers. Live it for real. You don't have to act it out. Live it for real, because I freed you for real. I transformed you for real. So that's why we're talking about holiness, because, you know, you all want me to talk about the blessings and prosperity, right? And faith and all those things, you know. Hey, I can get it. You know, I can get this, and I can get the job and all that. Hey, but you can't get nothing living a shoddy lifestyle. He's expecting your lifestyle to live up to his expectation. So that's why we're talking about holiness. So I could preach about all the good stuff, but if you are not living a set-apart lifestyle, it wouldn't apply to you anyway. Okay, it's just the truth. Okay? And so, when we look at 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, the first verse, which is our wellspring scripture for the series, Hunger for Holiness, because this should be something that we want. You know, Yahweh shouldn't have to beg us to serve, and we should want to do it because of what he did for us and his sacrifice for us. We should want to live this. We should want to be set apart. We should want people to see that there's something different about us. So when we look at 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, the first verse, it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Let's say it again. Cleanse ourselves. See, he already did the first cleaning. Now you have to maintain that. So how do we cleanse ourselves? We make choices. We say, hey, no. Not going to do that. Nope. Not going to indulge in that. It's not his job to make us that way. We have to desire it. And it says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, meaning maturing, right? Holiness in the reverence. Not fear doesn't mean I'm scared. It means I respect you. I reverence you. I respect you, Yahweh. I reverence you. I understand what it is that you are desiring from me. And because we want to please him, we're always checking ourselves. Because the Bible tells us to examine what? Ourselves. You got to examine yourself. It's not my job to examine you. I don't know what's going on with you for real. I see what's going on the outside, but I don't know what's going on, what? But Yahweh knows, right? So you always have to keep checking yourself. Tell yourself, I got to check myself. All right. That's what we all have to do. So when we left off, we were talking about, let's go to Galatians, the fifth chapter. And so when we talk about holiness, if we're talking about the truth, we got to get down and like to the nitty gritty with the truth. And that's what we've been doing these last few weeks. And, you know, it gets a little quiet when you start getting to the nitty gritty. Everybody's like, ooh, I don't know about that. It's right here in the Word. Galatians, the fifth chapter. Because we should want this. Everybody. Time is winding up. See, what happens is that we get this misconception that, oh, well, I still got time to do my due. I got time to get it in. Anybody been feeling the earthquakes lately? Bible says in the last day there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. Now, there's been a few with our places. And, you know, this was like the earthquake capital, California, but now earthquakes are happening in places that they've never happened in before. Tells us that something's happening in the earth. And so we got to understand that. And he told us that these things would be taking place in the last days. Now, I didn't feel the earlier ones, but yesterday, as I was sitting down, I heard a boom and a shake. And what was that? What was it? No, yesterday. I didn't get the Richter on that. What was the Richter on that? It was 4 something. And then a few days ago, it happened. It was like a 5, and you know. But see, I felt it, but I was good. I knew Yahweh had me. Now, those of you who was running skirt, you better check yourself. See, the children of Yahweh have nothing to fear, have nothing to worry about. He's going to take care of us. When we stand in his righteousness, his right standing, it's when we are not in right standing that we start being scared and living in fear. So I will suggest to you, you take the earthquakes as a wake-up call. Get yourselves ready. Get ready. Tell your neighbor, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get your house in order. Get your spiritual house in order. And that's what we're talking about. Holiness is about maintaining our spiritual house. So when we go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, in the 19th verse, it says, now the works of the flesh are these. And what are they? But what does it say? Now the works of the flesh are what? Manifest. Manifest means that it's known. The New King James Version says the works of the flesh are evident. And I'm telling you in our English that the works of the flesh are obvious. There should be no like, oh, I wonder what that is. No, we know what that is. And it tells us, and it gives us a listing of them, about 17 different things. Let's read them. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Hold up. Reveling. Wow. So we got all this stuff. And some of y'all think that some of these words are a little, I've never heard that before. I've never heard that before. Well, that's what this teaching is for. We're going to break it down, each one. We want to know everything there is to know about each of these. Because some of y'all think you okay and you cool just because you're not adultering and you're not fornicating, but you might be doing some of the other stuff. And some of the other stuff is not as, maybe might be as clear to you. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to give you clarity on those things. So the last couple of weeks, we couldn't seem to get off of adultery and fornication. Why? Because there's so much there, right? But let's go back to the 21st verse. Envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings. And then after listing all that stuff, it says, and such like. In the New King James Version, it says, and the like. And in the way we talk, and other stuff that's just like it. Right? It lists all that stuff, and then there's shadow stuff. Stuff that's not as clear. So that's why he put that in there. If this was a legal document, this would cover everything. Right? Because you might, well, don't specifically say masturbation. Well, somebody's like, did he actually say that? What? Yes, I did, because this is the truth that we're talking about. So that is covered under and such like, because it's just like it. It's close enough. It's associated. And these are the associations. You'd be surprised at the stuff. When I broke the study down, there's a lot of stuff that we are doing that we're really not realizing that is messing with our holiness. And we wonder why we seem to hit a ceiling and we can't get past that, because maybe we're doing some of this stuff, right? And so I want to say this. Yahweh is not trying to keep y'all from fun. He's just trying to keep y'all to him. It's about our relationship with him. And these things, what? Separate us from him. So he's trying to keep us from misery. He's trying to keep us from heartache. He's trying to keep us from destruction. He's trying to keep us from pain. He's trying to keep us from death. And I'm thankful that he's doing everything he can to try to keep me. Right? And so what we need to understand is, saints, all of this stuff has spirits attached to them. There are spirits in the earth. Every single one of these things, everything that we've listed there and the like, has spirits attached to it. What are you talking about, Pastor Tom? There are spirits that want to motivate you to do these things. Come on, y'all, don't act like you don't know what's going on. What happened in the garden? Adam and Eve were created. Yahweh made them righteous and justified and sanctified and all that. But they listened to the serpent, which was the enemy, right? A spirit said, well, he said, you can do this, but he didn't say that you would surely die. So Eve, it should have said, and the like. Right? Because it was a gray area, so she was like, well. She was deceived. And that same spirit of deception on all these things is still working in the earth today. The enemy's telling you, oh, you can do that, you can do that. It's good, it's good. Brother Toby, the other day, we were talking about how the legalization of marijuana, and I knew this was going to be an issue in the church. It's just an issue. And they seem to believe that the word says that he created every herb. Well, for a person to look for that out, it's telling you that they want, you're locating yourself. You're looking for a way out. And what happens is that we're always trying to find ways out, and before you know it, we out. And we doing way out stuff. But I praise Yahweh, he's giving us the truth to bring us back in. So when we look at this, let's go to 2 Corinthians. And we want to go to the 6th chapter. Tell yourself, I'm different.
I'm different. Say, Yahweh, you made me different. That's what he did. He transformed us. He took us out of the old lifestyle. So we go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 16th verse. It's speaking to you. You who are different, right? We who are different. So 2 Corinthians 6 chapter, the 16th verse says what? And what agreement hath the temple of Yahweh with idols? For you are the temple. Okay. You guys know that you're actually a temple? My sister's here received the gift of the Holy Ghost. That means that when his spirit moved into them, they became a living place for the Holy Spirit to dwell in their lives. Right? He came on in. He moved on in. Right? And therefore now we are a temple for him to dwell in. Right? And the whole thing is that we're trying to maintain this temple. We're trying to keep it up, so that he can live in here comfortably, right? Because there's so many things he wants to do and manifest in our lives if we'll do that, right? And so evidently there were some folks not understanding that they were a temple, are a temple. And it says, what agreement hath the temple of Yahweh with idols? What are idols? Well, it's not like you just take a statue and worship it, right? It's different. Some of y'all, a car can be an idol. You worship that car. Money is an idol. You know, when you get mad because we're talking, Yahweh's word talks about tithes and offerings. And 10%, that's too much. That's what the word says. So therefore, if you don't want to follow Yahweh's word and you want to do what you want to do, you have just established to everyone what your idol is. And your idol is your money. Idols will separate you. Sometimes a person can be an idol. Some of us put people up and we worship people. Well, what do you mean? I don't be bowing down and worship. Well, some of y'all bow down, but anyway, I won't go there. But what you do is you put that individual before anything else, right? You, whatever they want. You remember the movie? Eddie Murphy, Coming to America. And I watch a lot of movies in my time. And this particular movie where they presented to him a bride, and, you know, it was supposed to be the woman he was supposed to marry, and the whole time that he was there meeting her for the first time, and he was like, what do you like to eat? Whatever you like. Where do you want to go? Wherever you like. We do that. We put people up, and whatever it is, hey, I don't want you to go to church. I won't go to church. I want you to lay with me. Yes, whatever you like. What does that become? Your God, your idol. But when it comes to what Yahweh want, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to do that. No, I don't. No. Tithes, no. Forgive somebody, oh. No, I don't want to do that. Come to church? No, I don't want none of that. Worship? No. Well, you've just established what you're serving and who you're serving. Because maybe you didn't know it or not, ain't no in between. Either you're for him or you're against him. The Bible says, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Is it going to be God? Amen. So, I will dwell, for you are the temple of living God, Yahweh. As Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 17th verse. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye what? Separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing. And what will happen? And I will receive you. But he said, we got to what? Come out. People have to know that there's a difference between us and them. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to create a commune and we're all going to live together and we're all going to stay together. No, it just means that don't be influenced by the world. You can't fall up into the stuff that the world do. You got to do what the word of Yahweh says. Come ye out and be ye what? Separate, because I want to have a relationship with you, saith Yahweh. Right? And so we're not going to be able to be blessed if we are still out there. And so it's about maintaining our relationship. Let me go off the grid for a second. Because we've been talking about sexual sins, we know this. The Bible says in the fifth chapter of Galatians, it talks about, let's go back to the fifth chapter. It talks about a word that says revelings. Okay? Say revelings. Okay, a lot of people don't know what revelings is. But a lot of believers, I'm going to talk more about it later, but revelings is that you got to party. You got to party hardy. You got to turn up. See, that's the terminology. Everybody don't like to hear that. But it's the truth. There's a reveling spirit, people, that you got to party. You got to club. You got to break it down. You got to be, you got to go out where it's happening. You got to hear the music. You got to bump and grind. No, this is not even having sex. This is on the dance floor. Did you know what? See, this stuff happens right now on the dance floor. People are bumping and grinding. Simulating activity on the dance floor. And when you're reveling, you are, who been in the club? Don't do it. But what happens, I tell you, because I've been in the clubs before. You know, when I was out there. Now, I'm not clubbing now. Let's get that straight. Okay, but when you're out there, you with your partner, then you're looking at what everybody else is doing, and then the whole room is bouncing and shaking. Everybody's sweating, and everybody on everybody, and you're just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's happening with you? You caught up in the what? In the spirit of the thing. Right? You're turning up glasses, and, you know, it's just like you think everything is good, but you know that everything is miserable in your life. You know that your life is in shambles, but yet it's still, hey. I was watching, somebody sent me this crazy, you know, you get all these crazy videos every now and then. They were showing me, it was labeled like a Jamaican dance or something. And what it is that it's this crazy stuff on the dance floor where they are jumping on each other. They're like getting on top of chairs and stuff. This is a dance. And they're laying there and they're jumping from the chair onto the person. Just crazy stuff. Then they're taking persons and the person is straddling them, and then they take the girl and they throw the girl to somebody else. And the music is just, and everybody, and people are falling down and busting their head, and everybody's laughing. And the music is still going. It's a spirit. reveling. You're hypnotized, right? And this is, y'all was doing this in the 70s. Got some 70s babies in here. Y'all was doing it. Studio 54. Yeah. And the like, right? You get caught up in that. Where does that lead to? Well, it leads to more drinking. Familiar spirits, right? Then you start, it leads to drug use, right? It leads to promiscuity. Because everybody is doing it and grinding. And then you got women grinding women and all kinds of stuff going on. On the dance floor. We're not even in the bedroom. We're in the dance floor. You're twerking. You're touching. You're grabbing. Is that holiness? No. But why is the church bumping and grinding? We church, we got to start making a difference. And I saw this other video the other day where it was a gospel version of bump and grind. I don't see nothing wrong when living for Jesus Christ. I don't see nothing wrong. Okay, well. The message in it, yeah, but I could not get the other lyrics out of my head. I'm just hearing the music and I just hear bump and grind. I don't hear nothing else. That's not going to guide me to holiness. But I'm just giving you a taste of that to say, if you are reveling, you're caught up in that spirit. And you might not be fornicating, but and the like. It all leads, it all connects to the same place. It's all designed to separate you at some point. It's all designed to separate your spirit. It's all designed to separate everything for where it should be. You're putting your focus on the party. If you want to have a party, come on and praise and worship. Let's have a Holy Ghost party. Come on now. Let's do that. You know, that's where it's at. Okay, so I just had to share that to you, with you, for just a second, okay? And so the Greek word for reveling is komos, K-O-M-O-S. And it means partying, basically, letting loose. Say letting loose. Letting loose. Let the good times roll. So if you in the spirit of reveling, you're what? And isn't that, don't that sound right? Because we're saying be free, Yahweh made us free, right? But we wasn't talking about letting loose. See, letting loose means you doing loose stuff. You're talking loose, right? You're doing loose. That's what we get. That's what we see believers getting caught up in. And let's go back to, back to Corinthians. And we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians. And the sixth chapter, the 16th verse. The Bible was written in continuous narrative. What does that mean? That means it was just written and it went on and on and on. It wasn't separated by chapter and verse. That's what man did. They went in and tried to organize it, but it was written all connected. If we go and we read the sixth chapter, the 16th verse where we just read, 17th says where? Wherefore come out from among them and what? And what? And I will what? And 18th verse says what? I will be a father unto you, and ye shall what? That is the relationship that he wants to have. He tells us to come out from among them and be ye separate, right? And he says, I will be your father. What does a father do? He loves you. What does a father do? He embraces you, protects you, takes care of you, right? But guess what a father does too? He warns you. He correct you. And listen, maybe you say, well, I ain't had no father. Don't worry about it. You got one now. Hallelujah. You got one now. Your heavenly father. He's trying to warn you. He's trying to protect you, right? He does those things. But it's interesting because if we're talking about continuous narrative, what did I just open up this whole thing with? I opened it up with 2 Corinthians what? 7th chapter. And where is the 7th chapter and the first verse in relation to 6:18? After he says what? After he says, I will be a father unto you and you shall be my sons and daughters, then he says what? Having therefore these precious promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. So basically he was saying, listen, I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to keep you from that stuff. I'm going to be, come ye out from among you. I will be your father, but cleanse. Yes, you see how that's connected? And a lot of times we separate it. But you got to choose where you're going to be. All right. So let's go to Colossians. Before we go there, though, go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, one more time. We need to keep our finger there because there's a whole lot there. I'm going to open up something right now. The 5th chapter, the 19th verse. Remember, we were reading that, now the works, right? Our flesh are these, adultery and fornication, right? Okay. Fornication. We know that that is what? Illicit sexual behavior. But guess what? There's a Greek word for fornication. And it's very telling. The Greek word for fornication is porneia. Porneia. That is the Greek word for fornication. So illicit sexual behavior. Wow, porneia? I can think of a few English words. Now, pornography, pornographic. Makes sense now, don't it? Pornos. Well, that came from the Greek word of fornication. There is a spirit of porneia in the world today. And it comes in different ways. And guess what? There are all kinds of ways that you can access porneia. So it means illicit sexual behavior. So it makes sense now. Pornography means that, right? And if you break down fornication, it means a lot of things. You want to know what they mean? Are you sure? Okay. Harlotry is a part of porneia. What is harlotry? Promiscuous activity. Of course, homosexuality, right? Two men, lesbianism, two women, bestiality. What is that? I'm sorry, there's kids in here, but this, you know, that's why this, we have a children's church. I'm sorry. It's too late now, huh? I said it. Because this is, you know, adults, this is what the adults need to know. I mean, we got to know this, right? Bestiality is with animals. Incest, that's with relatives, kinfolk, family members, cousins, watch it, aunties. These things are what? Uncles. Then he says idolatry. So there's spiritual fornication as well as natural, right? There's a lot going on here. So let's go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Wow. So if
the spirit of pornea, and it's a billion-dollar industry, people. And it's infiltrating even the what? The church. Listen, pornea, they even use pornea to sell food. Anybody ever seen a Carl's Jr. commercial? Where the girl has a burger and everything's just dripping on down. What does that have to do with a hamburger? But whatever they're trying to sell, because they know pornea what? Sells. Doritos. They're trying to sell some Doritos. It's the same kind of. So everything got to be sexy. What is sexy anyway? It even affects how the church people dress sometimes. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, it's just the truth. You know, you don't have to be sexy. And there was this thing going on in the church world. Sometimes church world can keep it saved and sexy. What is that? It means that the pornea, the spirit of pornea, is permeating the church. How are you going to keep it saved and sexy? It's an oxymoron. They don't go together. Now listen, married people, that's the fruits of your marriage. But you got to still watch what you do up in there. Okay? But sisters, you don't have to be sexy. Just be sanctified. You know, you don't need all the stuff. You know, brothers, you be trying to be sexy too, so you ain't exempt. Wearing medium shirts. I talked about this the other week. What's a medium? It's something that's too small for you. Somewhere between a small and a medium. But there's the spirit of the world. It gets in us. So we got to be careful. We got to check ourselves. Colossians, the third chapter, you got it? Third chapter, the fifth verse says what? Mortify, therefore, your members. Hello, your members. Sisters, you have a member. Brothers, you have a member. I ain't going to say it or they'll edit me out. But you can't be ruled by your member. Okay? Sisters, you know. Brothers, you know. So the Bible tells us about these members, because these members do stuff. And you know what? These members can let you know that they're alive. It's just the truth, right? Because it's the flesh. And so knowing that we are flesh, the Bible tells us how to deal with our member. Sisters, it tells you how to deal with your member. Brothers, it tells you how to deal with your member. And it says what? Mortify. My God, what is mortification? Kill it. Now, don't mean kill it. It means act like it's dead. Mortify it. Treat it like it's dead. So that means like, hey, down. Hey, no, keep it closed. You can't have that. You can't do that. We're not doing that. We're mortifying it. We're going to stop feeding it. We're going to stop falling prey to the flesh. We're not slaves to the flesh anymore. We've been made free by the name of Yeshua. We've been made free. So it says you got to mortify your members with on earth what? fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. It's all the lust stuff, y'all. And covetousness, which is idolatry. So covetousness is in here too. You want somebody, hey, somebody got a good-looking sister. You want that. Sisters, you do the same thing. Oh, I like that man. Boom, I got your man. You got to watch yourself. Sometimes it's not that you want to have sex with the person, but you just want to see if they're interested in you. Playing that game. That's all part of the flesh. I'm trying to, sister. So you got to put that stuff what? To death. So, interesting enough, when you look at the third chapter of Colossians, the fifth verse, and then you look at the message, and I think for those of you who are just trying to get a good read, it's a good translation for you just to get some kind of understanding, especially if you're a young believer. It's called the Message Translation, and I want to read the Message Translation. Do we have that? Okay. And it's going to be on this. So that same scripture that we read, 3:5, look what the message says. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That is the translation, real words, real business today, 2014, of what's going on. So you can't get around that. Especially the part that says, doing whatever you feel like it and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by Yahweh. Come on, y'all. I want my life to be defined by Yahweh. Not about this feelings and this flesh mess. It's distorted. So we got to start concentrating on the things that are trying to keep us connected with him. Because listen, that's what the world says. That's what the spirit in the world is out today. Doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it. And I like that it says grabbing. Because it's right. Because physically you grabbing at whatever it is that you want to feel good. Fatal attraction. Why do I say fatal attraction? Because it's going to kill your spirit. It's going to take you down. And we're trying to live a brand new life. Who wants to live in the brand newness? And it stays new. It keeps on being new every day. Bow your head. Father Yahweh. Oh, we want to be in your newness. We want to stay in your newness. We want to stay.